My whole concept of why we ought to be off our seats and on our feet almost has little to do with doing it for health reasons, except as a preventative measure, and I guess I would have to say as a preventative major, I certainly believe in it. I think that our discussion this afternoon on stress is kind of an opener for why it is we ought to think and do more seriously in the area of play. But it is not only play, I think. In order to play, we almost need to have developed a degree of fitness. And so you are caught in having to prepare yourself to play. If you don't believe it, if any of you been on a hike in the last 4 days, any of you stiff from the hike, that tells you what you ought to have done is homework. And that's the homework that you need to do sort of day in and day out. Our bodies, remember, were made for action. Organic action was kind of the plan all the way from the primitive beginning to now. We have foiled the plan in all sorts of ways, primarily by our technological advances, which I love. I'm not in favor of going to primitive life. I like it for 3 nights in a row in order to see an eclipse of the moon, and I like it in various other ways. But I'm really for the technological advances that has permitted us to have time. Time not to have to worry about the Protestant work ethic anymore. The concept of it is not quite nice to play for its own sake. But if we have some problems with that, of playing for its own sake, then you can always use the need for healthful living and a preventative measure against the stress that we all are living in and the speeded up society. We really live a double rhythm life. And all of you know that, as it took you time even to relax here, you kept thinking, gee, I got to do something. There must be something I have to be doing right now, rather than, I think I'll look at the stars for 3 hours. You know, it blows our mind to think of just sitting and looking at the stars. So I think that it takes a while to unwind in the world. But one of the great things I think about why I like my field is that there's not all kinds of forces that are preventing me from doing that which I want to do. It's not like the whole cosmic world that we have to worry about. Each one of us only have to be responsible for our own health. And if we are not healthy to the highest degree possible, a lot of it's our own fault. We simply haven't taken the time. And I don't mean fit and healthy, including a handicap. And a handicap is not unhealthy. It is how I then adjust to the life. And that's what each of us have to do, is within our bodies figure out how it is we can adjust to it. And that's what I like about it, because it's not just hope. It's even more than hope. It's actuality. We can make it happen. We can make it happen in all kinds of ways, but mostly by changing our attitude towards the need and the desire and the excitement of play and the freedom that we've really been given, the attitude of play that we ought to have. And why I'm particularly interested in it among Christians is I think that the lack of fitness, the lack of play, the lack of enjoyment has had some negative effects and some stresses upon all of us. But there's some really concrete reasons, I suppose, why we ought to think about fitness, about health. What might be some reason, why are you sitting here? Why are you sitting here? Why did you come? Why do you think it's important, in other words?
I don't think I'm doing all I should be.
Okay, and what you think might happen to you if you should do a little more? Anybody, don't. Okay, mentally, there is something about that mind and body that works together. And Plato took us apart a long time ago, and Luther didn't help us much in separating the body and mind. Calvin did even less for us. Olaiola, the soldier for the Counter-Reformation, was really a positive for us in that whole feeling. He believed that you can serve God best and feel best by exercise. What was his profession, you scholars? Loyola, I'm not saying it right. Loyola, the Counter-Reformation? Okay, he forms the Jesuit order. What was he first? Yeah, a soldier. So he believes in fitness. In fact, in our society, about our only reason at one time for fitness was military. And that's what Loyola said. You men get fit for God. And then you also may play for God. Wednesday afternoons in the program of the Jesuit order, they had to play. They had to take the afternoon for some kind of physical activity. And if old Loyola thinks so, I think that the Catholics were in pretty good position. Actually, the Catholic's educational system is based on the importance of play, much more than the recess of the Lutheran schools, for example. They didn't have it during the academic day, but that's where we get Notre Dame. They had after-school activities because they believed in it. And so feeling better is just one of the bonuses of fitness. What else? Why else? Serving the Lord, serving and being able to work. Why else might you want some health and fitness? It definitely slows the aging process. And it would seem to me that women, of all people, would pick that up the soonest, because they have been the most interested in terms of their appearance, in terms of their obesities, and for all kinds of reasons. We know for sure that it can slow the aging process. In fact, what we're finding is that in studies on women who have, they have said from 12 years old on, almost is in sort of a faltering position. They aren't at all. That active women of 45 have more endurance than many active men of 45. The problem has been that the women of your age were probably deprived in the past. And so as you begin your exercises, you really can't do it in the same all-out vigor of the 30-year-olds who may have had more exposure. The more exposure you've had to play, exercise, sport, the farm life, the more you may continue it as you go. Any of you that have been farmers and farmers' wives, you people are probably in the best shape for continuing exercises and enjoying life more, because you have been in physical labor, and it gives you much more possibility. Any other reason you can think of for bothering with this? The thrill of victory, the sheer joy of the activity. There's no question in my mind that that's why I'm in sport. And partly because that's the only place in the whole world until recently I'm allowed to be aggressive at all. They don't care much for it on the volleyball court sometimes, but it is a place where I am allowed. And you'll find other women who have participated in sport in which they were allowed to be aggressive. Now, on Wednesday, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that in terms of children and our society. But it is a thrill and an excitement. It is a challenge. It's the difference between walking, hiking, and mountain climbing, in a sense. All three of them are a thrill for different ones of us. For me, the actual mountain climbing, the glacier climbing, is the final thrill, because it's the challenge of my being against the mountain and the cooperation of at least three people together working, and the excitement of that. And I did not start that, by the way, until I was maybe 35. And it was a new challenge, really, is why I decided mountain climbing was for me. But sport has a thrill in it. And in order to participate in any sport with a high degree of skill, you've got to be fit. And so the process of fit for that purpose is another good reason. In fact, in the whole stress world, I was reading a man named J.B. Nash, who
who is a kind of classic in the field of physical education and sport. And in 1932, he wrote a book called Spectatoritis and talked about what's wrong with Americans in their spectator lives. And when you think of the tragedy of baseball, you see the tragedy of sitting on our seats. A whole society is crushed because they can't sit and look at the boob tube and see the passing game. And I don't know if it's worse for them than if it had been football, but it appears to be probably the worst tragedy for 500,000, a million Americans, which gives the picture of why I want you off of your seats instead of upon them. Before I get to J.B. Nash, the story is told of a kid talking about if we don't use appendix, that our appendix won't be needed anymore. If we don't use our tonsils won't be needed in future generations. And some other little kid says, well, in the future then, will we all be born with big seats and big eyes only to watch the television? And I think the kid had a commentary for us. And so we need to think about that. One of the other big problems about staying on your seats is we eat on our seats. We are eating ourselves to death. And today, I told somebody I was going to talk about that. 5 minutes later, I went to the store, and guess what I bought? A Payday candy bar. Can you believe that? But at least they're not letting me have desserts. But we really have to get serious in our whole healthful patterns for our children, and particularly in the aging process, to watch what we are eating. We are really eating ourselves to death in the general sense. Let me get all our to deaths and then move back to some fitness for a minute. We're eating ourselves to death, as our stress man will tell us. We're worrying ourselves to death. We're doping ourselves to death. We're sitting ourselves to death. We're hurrying ourselves to death. We're smoking ourselves to death. And we're drinking ourselves to death. And when you look at all those seven things, none of which we have to do. I guess we have to sit in the automobile or the bus or the airplane. And there are occasions we're having to sit. But with every sitting time ought to be some kind of active time. Actually, we'd better off some lying time, lying down instead of sitting time in the process. But our first one that we can deal with, I think, is our eating habits. Obesity is almost the number one problem for women in their heart diseases even, and in the blood vessel kinds of diseases, and with high blood pressure kinds of happenings. High blood pressure is one of the activities or one of the illnesses that can help be prevented through active, if not vigorous, kinds of activities. The important thing, of course, is being sure that you are allowed those kinds of activities. But it stimulates the kinds of happenings, and the input of food has to be less than the output of energy, period. That's all there is to diet, is the input of food, the output of energy. And if you can decrease the input and increase the output of energy used, you can lose weight or sustain weight. It rarely is of any other cause. Now, old age, middle age, all of these have an effect, but that's not the final. The final thing is how we eat and what we eat. Do you know that we eat 750 pounds per citizen of sugar a year? Do you know how many calories that is? That's just good average American, 750 pounds of sugar. So think about that, as I did when I bought a Payday, which was a nut roll and didn't have quite as much. but then I put sugar in my coffee this morning. But that's one of the things that we can take care of. If you want to think about what it does to you, any of you gone overnights yet on the trail this summer? Anybody on an overnight? How many pounds did you carry? You figure. 37, 18, or a heavy day pack, 20, How'd it feel? Did you like it? Did you love it?
No.
Okay. Consider that by eating 750 pounds of sugar, we're able to get about 25 pounds extra a year if we don't have more in output. And put that on your body and think about carrying it around. And that's the problem of stay saving and eating. The only real answer is pushing away from the table, which does not mean all of these kinds of stop-gap kinds of diets. It's nutritional kinds of eating that still has to occur. Fortunately for me, I have learned I can eat 1,700 calories and maintain. While as you get older, you're probably, some of you, down to as low as 800 calories for maintaining. And you can quickly try to find out. It has to do with your metabolism on what you're going to maintain. The drinking ourselves to death counts everything. I want you to know that women are becoming equal. As many women alcoholics now, proportion to the population as men, in the 20 to 50 year old category. A sad commentary on what equity has brought to women, but a sad commentary on our society, or else on the fact that women are admitting it and getting help. A stressful kind of happening. But add to that not only alcohol, but the smoking and the coffee, and we're dealing with something like 16% of our birth defects. And so both men and women need to think about this in the whole process of pregnancy and of using exercise as opposed to drink, or fun, sport, play, contest as a substitute for these kinds of happenings. Anything beyond 4 cups of coffee seems to be a difficulty for all of us. I think I'm about down to 6, hoping it will help, but Coke doesn't help us much, nor does lemonade with ice with sugar in it. And so water seems to be the answer for us in this territory. Another thing that's happening is we are doping ourselves to death, and that runs from the aspirin to the uppers and downers, the Valium, the wake-up pills, the sleeping pills, the patterns that we have permitted to happen. On one floor at the University of Maryland, 15 out of the 21 girls or women had taken some kind of stay-awake pills during final week. And the problem with that once is nothing, but the continuation of it, it becomes habit-forming, and then they have to take downers to equal the uppers. And so the whole dope scene, not to mention the marijuana, which seems to be a substitute for alcohol and is not really serving that kind of purpose. But any addiction becomes a kind of doping. The worrying ourselves to death, I'm going to leave to our clinical psychologist, and I think the Jacobson technique of relaxation, by the way, is one of the great answers to relaxation. Of all the techniques that have come out that I know of since 1928, including the Ragsdale, which was kind of the takeoff, the Jacobson one has lasted the longest and is not a fluke. It is not a fad. It is built on scientific evidence. And I think that's important to know because there's a lot of fads and a lot of money being spent in our society on spas and all kinds of fake treatment. And this is just a pure way of understanding your body, that's all. And it's a great way of understanding your body. But yeah, it's a technique of knowing when you are tense and when you aren't. A simple kind of thing is closing your eyes. Why don't you try it just for a second? Tighten all the muscle in your right arm, just as tight as you can. And feel it. Now you know that muscle is in tension. Now start with your eyes closed to let it go. Let it go. And really let it go. And notice the difference that you feel in your whole body. Up! Wake up! In your whole body, just from an arm. And the idea is that they teach you to do it so that you're not going over what happened when you went to bed last night and you had that fight, and even the muscles in your mouth are really mouthing it, and you're, even when you're counting, you can tell your tongue is working, and it's some breathing kinds of things. But it's really understanding the muscles of the body. is really what's happening in that whole technique. And I think that's an important technique, even if you're a great athlete. As a matter of fact, Penn State University is using the Jacobson technique of relaxation for their football players as of last year and their women fencers, because sport does not prevent stress. As a matter of fact, if any of you watch your children, sport often encourages stress. And that's one of the problems that physical educators have not dealt with. We have not dealt with the stress that we put upon children. Or even in my college classes, as soon as I move to that tennis player and say, your arm's wrong, what I've really done is given them a great big stressful situation, and that inhibits movement. That's why when you play with someone in any sport better than you, you suddenly tense up. And that's a kind of stress that happens, and that we probably ought to be preventing more. But I think that's one of the great techniques. The other important area is the whole area of fitness and how does one get fitness. I think all of you have probably heard the word aerobics. There's all kinds of definitions. I think the best or easiest definition of fitness through aerobics is a variety of exercises that stimulate the heart and lungs for a time long enough to make it beneficial. In other words, you get your heart rate up, is what it's saying in plain everyday English. And so aerobics is also a proven method of fitness. In fact, you could use only aerobics to become fit. I don't see it as much fun, so I'd rather play volleyball for an hour and get my 30 points in. Over in the bookstore, we have a book particularly for women, because I think aerobics is particularly important for women because they seem to have less opportunity for movement pattern. It's called New Aerobics for Women. I think the other aerobic book is also there for men. But it's an excellent book that would really take you for free, none of this $450 for the spa, through an exercise program. It also talks about what activities you do and the value of it in terms of the sport activity that you are doing. It's something that everyone can do no matter where you are. You can do it, some of these, sitting down. You can do it without a doctor's permission. But as soon as you start jogging, going beyond walking in your normal pace, you need to be sure that you've had it checked out if you are over 35 with a doctor, that you are in condition. But below 35, you can really start right in on trying to deal, for example, with a 12-minute walk run. I have one caution that we're just finding out at the University of Maryland about jogging for women. And that is, if you were not active as a young girl and you begin jogging someplace after 30 or 35, we're finding a lot of stress fractures. A stress fracture is a real fracture that was caused by nothing but two strong muscles against a weak bone. And we're finding some stress fractures with girls. A lot of boys, young boys, who grew up too fast and started track also have these stress fractures. But what it is the pounding against the pavement. The other thing that we are dealing with at the university is what is happening to women's backs. Women's backs are very vulnerable to damage, partly because our abdomens aren't strong enough. But the problem in the past has been you've tried to strengthen your abdomens by pulling on your back. For example, these leg lifts, absolutely the worst thing in the world for women. And men too, by the way. Two double leg lifts and lowering them slowly. They are one of the very best ways for lumbar lordosis in the back, and stretching the back. Do not do, men or women, two legs at once. And if your physical education teachers are having your kids or grandkids do it, just don't let them do it, even if it causes trouble back home. Because we have all kinds of proof of the difficulty of it if the abdomen is not strong enough. It's supposed to strengthen the abdomen, but in order to do it, it pulls on the back if the abdomen isn't strong enough. And you see it on TV all the time. So be careful of that kind of an exercise. But therefore, because we're not sure right now what's happening in jogging, I'd be much more in favor of an additional 10 minutes of vigorous walking, because it does not pound on the body, does not pound on the legs. They're also looking at this for men over 60, that perhaps vigorous walking, so you have to take a longer time to do it, may be better than jogging. They also have a new device, and is it the Vons? Is that our clinical psychologist's name? Vaughn was telling about, and I know one other person that was talking about, almost like a mini tramp that is can do the same thing that jogging does, only it doesn't have the jar in your back and it doesn't have it on your legs. Does anybody know about it? Yeah, about what's the price tag? Yeah, what's the price tag on it, do you know? Yeah, if I could get a better one, we've learned in sporting equipment, get the better one, because it's not solid. Yeah. Well, you can do one leg at a time. And sit-ups, as long as on the sit-ups, if you put, particularly for women, your feet under and only go, curl up position, or hold under and go, and it is not fast, and do not go beyond the straight line of your body. So if I were doing these, for example, it's really hold, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And up to here, not all the way down there, because that's pulling it. Yeah. Well, you see, once they get strong abdomens, you're not going to harm the back anymore, and you can build. Yeah, right. When he can do 25 to 40 of those, then what the leg lift I'm talking about is this one. And maybe you can see what happens on my back. When I get here, see what happens? And so the pull, and I'm very strong in my abdomen. And the pull. Yeah. Yeah, and you tell them to keep their backs down as much as they can. Yeah, yeah. And that's the problem is in here. The other thing that you can do is reverse bicycles, which helps some. Which will do that same kind of thing. The problem is we're just now really bothering to find out what we've done to people sort of in the past. And that's one of the values of technology, is finding out. Yeah, the other thing is, and particularly for women now who are doing a lot more exercises, the deep knee bend is really not good for them. But what we are finding out about women, for example, is the three things you need for fitness is endurance, which is the cardiovascular, which is the jogging, flexibility, and strength. And we are finding that women, well-trained athletes, can have 80% of the endurance capacity of men. Could be the same if we were the same size, but our hearts and lungs are smaller. And you need to remember that about your junior high boys. Their hearts and lungs have not caught up with their bodies. And an awful lot of the junior high coaches have been pushing boys too far. It's not growing, but in all kinds of ways where the boy has gone 5 inches in a year. They simply haven't caught up with the heart and lung capacity. And they're fainting, they're going into convulsions, and it has to do with overtraining our children. And the same thing can happen to you, though. You don't rush into this huge training program. Flexibility, the important thing is you do not want to go beyond the normal range of movement. There is no need for us to be able to put our hands flat on the floor, unless we happen to be long-waisted and long-legged. It's all right. But if you happen to be born short and with tight hamstrings, you're not going to be unhealthy, unfit, unskilled, because you can't put your feet to the floor. Nor are you unfit, unhealthy, unskilled if you can't do a back bend. Back bends are not needed in this society at all. However, it's an activity that once, if you have junior high girls that love it, just be sure that they continue to do it through the season and out of the season. Otherwise, the possibility of pulling on the back is great. And so while I want fitness for all of you, I want care sort of and intelligent kinds of activities. In flexibility, you don't want beyond the normal range. You want, particularly with arthritis, you want to keep your muscles moving. That's one of the important elements for most kinds of arthritis. You need to know what kind you have and to check with the doctor. But basically, movement is not harmful for very many kinds of diseases. Only fractures really need immobility. And so don't be afraid of at least testing out activity. The strength factor that you need, and as women and girls are moving into sport, you need to know that we cannot develop the same amount of strength in our arms and shoulders as men. No matter what the feminists say, although I am one of them, I do not believe that we are exactly alike. We are not, we shall not be, and I do not wish to be, in the brute strength area. But our legs can, in fact, achieve approximately the same degree of strength training as the male, so that the strongest part of the female is her thighs in terms of development. And that's why maybe she will be able to dive eventually with the same difficulty as males, because she can develop her strength. That is why she also has developed enough endurance to win a 100-mile race as opposed to a 27-mile race. The other thing to know about strength for your women and girls is that it will not develop bulk because of our hormone count. It merely will streamline the body, and actually it will help in the appearance. With even weight training on girl women's thighs, legs, and arms and shoulders, they do not gain, the maximum any woman has gained is 5% bulk, in addition to her normal muscular contour when she started. And I think that's important for you to know for your kids. Now the ballet dancer that starts at 3, yeah, she's going to have strong-looking legs. And I have very strong-looking legs. I was a complete tomboy and athlete. It does not come from weight training. It comes from years of firm muscles. And as soon as I don't exercise, then you'll know it's plain everyday fat, because it turns into that. And I think it's important because it's been a myth in terms of the women. The other thing for the boys to know is that they can build bulk if they want to through weightlifting. But it is not what necessarily is going to make them a great athlete in a lot of the sports. I think football, they're now using it, right, as important. Wrestling went from no you can't, yes you can. And now they're saying to build strength, the kind, whether it's going to, dynamic strength or static kinds of strength. But strength, remember, to build it, you've got to either put a resistance on it or do more of them in order to be developing strength. Strength will stay with you the longest, but it's the hardest to get. Flexibility will go the soonest and the easiest to get. Endurance is in the middle. You cannot expect, however, to run or jog once a week and develop any kind of true fitness. You really are going to have to do it approximately 3 times a week. Of exercise, either the jogging or the walking. Walking can be done every day. You really don't need to do it more than 3 times a week, but it really begins to feel good, and so you go ahead and do it. And what you really need in exercise is that you begin to like it. If you do it for 6 months and you still hate it, find something else to do that moves your body. Because life is too short to not enjoy it at all, or find a friend to do it with. They really have found, in terms of nursing homes, where we've been doing some work, that those women and men will do anything that you lead them into because it is a group activity. And remember that group games, for example, are still fun. And that's what's important when you want to be doing exercises. Find somebody else, if you don't like it. Now, a lot of people like the solitude of the running alone. You also have to decide if it's easier to get in terms of a competitive kind or a non-competitive kind of activity as you are dealing in the whole sports world and kind of the special interest. If you've never ever really approached it before, I think the aerobic book, both for the men and the women, is one of the easiest and the most scientific on plain everyday exercise. But exercise in and of itself is almost often a not the answer, but rather a play kind of life. And I think we need to deal with that a little. But first, any more comments or questions on this whole fitness? Well, generally, if it's a vigorous exercise, 20 minutes at least. Well, see, that's why it becomes individual. The better you are, the longer you have to exercise, or the faster. Well, that has to do with the individual's normal beat, but generally 120 to 150 has to be raised, and then it's how much recovery time. They have some charts in some of the books. But for example, you're going to have to raise yours a lot more than Gertrude's going to have to raise hers for the same amount of good. Yeah, this is what they're talking about is a healthy, active male. And the female beat is faster anyway. It's absolutely individual. Some say, if I don't do it in the morning, first, if I don't do it in the morning, I don't do it. But there really is no best time, except the heat of the day will always fatigue. And don't forget that on the trail, folks. The heat of the day will tire you much faster. There is no need to race up any mountain in this place. It's not going anywhere, we don't think. No volcanoes. And it's very important in beginning anything that you don't rush into it or too fast, too much. The turtle story is a terribly significant one in physical activity. The fabric of your life can be enriched slowly as well as with great speed. The general thought is the processes of digestion have to have begun, and again, it's individualistic. If I'm training kids, I don't do it for an hour just because that's recommended. But the not eating anything an hour before is individual because, particularly in anybody over 45, the sugar count goes down quicker. And so you may well want some stimulant before in terms of some kind of sugary orange juice, the Gatorade kind of variety. All of those begin to be so individualistic. That's why I'm glad I'm not a coach. In terms of suing in this day and age, you just have to do a generalized, conservative estimate of what you ought to do in the whole process of exercise. Any other? Yeah. 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 Right. That's why the East Germans, no doping of any kind unless it's hormones. We don't know about that. But they don't let them put anything in their mouths that is not chemically okayed by the physiologists. The East Germans are the ultimate in study of movement
and activity. They decided in 1968 that they were going to move in. And they, if anything done in studies has been done. For example, we know for sure that the women are not taking steroids in swimming now because we've had some inner communication with them, and two of them have come to America and they simply have not. And they've been blamed for having taken them. But the difference is that they work 8 hours a day regardless of anything else that happens, and there is not an American girl. And I'm not saying they aren't. There's simply not an American girl that has been forced into that routine since 8 years of age. They simply are strong, strong women. And so they have done most of the studies on the problems of dope. And yeah, well, one of the weightlifters at the University of Maryland was banned too. They also, by the way, to show you the importance of sport in our society, some of the Russians have given girls hormones that would prevent them to have the onset of the menstrual cycle, so that they would stay small and their pelvises would not move. Notice what happened to the girl, the Romanian girl. It was a natural happening, and she gained 20 pounds. While even Aga had been kept small longer by inhibiting pills to prevent the onset of the menstrual cycle. If you want to see the sickness of sport, you've really got it in the Olympic scene. Not to mention some of our other scenes. Any other questions on the Well, peanuts are better, more expensive too. Actually, the GORP idea is really better, but if you're eating with other food, the chocolate is not the same kind of open sugar. The chocolate content in it will give at least the energy to finish the show. Halfway up, if you still got the whole roll of dough, no. You're still better, by the way. Eat your way up the mountain and eat your way down the mountain. Drink your way up the mountain and drink your way down, rather than a heavy meal halfway up or when you get where you're going, if you're going to have to come back down. And that's even for your loose. People would really be better off with only half trail lunches, or else eating them as you went, or even none. The trail lunches are really better for you in terms of your digestive system. Before the time flies, I do want to say a word about hiking, because some of you will still be doing it. I am a great lover of hiking and of mountain climbing. I go to Lyman Lake often, but I go in many, many hours and at a pace I almost can guarantee you 90% of you could go with me. And remember that when you're hiking. You are not there this week to run a race. You're here to see the beauty of the place. And you'll get there step by step. And you'll get back here step by step. Don't rush anywhere to get back in time for lunch, for dinner, for anything. Walk slow, easy pace. It is not a race, because you want to get back down, and you're also going to see the beauty. The second thing is, when you are on the trail, stop to see that which you want to see. Do not walk and see at the same time. Our trails are pretty good, but the Trail to Heart, which is the most common one, has rocks in it everywhere. So you stop and stop your group and see what you want to see. Don't walk also right behind the person in front of you. You are giving them stress. They think that they have to go faster, so you have to go faster. I've watched the hiking patterns here, and all of you can hike, even if you didn't prepare yourselves. But you come down just as slow as you go up, and your chance of harm to your bodies is far less. You will not harm your health if you are average health by going to Heart Lake, by almost going where you want to go as long as you go in a slow pace. There is no big hurry. Think of the wedding step. And that can be the step when you have to go up the inclination at all. And if you are going to Holden Lake, do not go in the heat of the day. Get an early start. There's an exposed, about half of the way is exposed and not in the woods. It is a beautiful lake. And it takes some effort, but it's really got to be slow. You should not be making Hart or Holden in 3 hours unless you've done a lot of hiking. You should be taking time to get up there. But all of you are capable of doing that if you will wear the right shoes. The other thing in and around here that I want you to think about is if you're going to play anything, please try to have tie shoes on and not your open shoes. If any of you are volleyball players particularly, you simply can't have flippy flops and not get hurt out on that volleyball court. So be sure that you think of that as you are going. The next and final thought is that I think fitness is terribly important, but that the value also of play is equally as important. And as you're dealing in your life, in play I'm thinking about leisure kinds of things, sports if we're competitive, but just general kinds of play for the exposure. And on Wednesday, I'll be talking about sport games. That's what play is. A little bit of competition hither and yon. And I love it. Even John McElmore is all right with me in his play life. But I will be talking about sport, games, athletics, and the values of those. Although I'm talking about children, I'm also going to be talking about the value of the kinds of ways of learning. And for any of you that are thinking about starting any kind of new sport, any variety, I have tons of ideas of where you can get information on it, where you can get started on it, how you can get started on it, and whether it may or it may not be too vigorous for you. For example, racquetball is a great sport for everybody almost, because you can do it at your speed and everybody can learn the sport. Tennis takes a couple seasons and you have to have patience to learn it. Badminton you can learn immediately, horseshoe immediately, and these kinds of things, you really have to know how much time you want to devote to it. And finally, remember that even John Calvin, our old strict Presbyterian, talks about the importance of play, and that in moderation one should play as long as you give God the glory. So I suggest that we all go out singing for the Lord through movement.